I'm just going to give a message on rejection here this afternoon, and it hits me anyway. I don't know about you, but it hit me, some areas that I needed, and that's what the Word of God does. It hits us where we need it, right?
Amen.
And so let's go ahead and go into the message here this afternoon. And by the way, that was a good message here this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We needed that. Every last one of us needed that.
Right.
And we got to be prepared because Satan will slip up and he will attack you.
Yes.
Every now and then, and I know we're not supposed to get on Facebook, but I get on it, preacher, every now and then. And I see these lions, they're creeping up on these poor, innocent little baby calves, you know, water buffalo and different ones, and that's the one they attack. And that was a good illustration how that Satan definitely will attack us at our weakest point.
Right.
Well, let's go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. And I want to look at the life of two people here. And I know I've prepared way too much, but I might just go ahead and go with the first part here and then at the Jordans on the second part. I don't know how it's going to work out, but... what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I say. And let's go ahead and look at the 37th chapter, excuse me, at verse 1. And I'm going to read down to verse 8. But before we do, let's pause in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for allowing us to be able to come into your presence. We thank you for our group of people here. We know that we are nothing special. There's nothing great about us. There's no eloquence. There's no little U's and big me's, because we know that we're all in the same boat. And we thank you, Father, for the unity that we have here this morning and this afternoon. So I pray that you bathe this word in your presence to your people, because we all have like passions of one another, and we need your inspiration. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll use me to be a blessing, soften hearts, develop character, and... do the work that you would have us to do this week by being a testimony to others. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do here through the reading of your word and through the message you'll be given, because I'm no eloquent preacher or speaker in any way, shape, or form, but I need your presence. So fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein the father, his father, that is, was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, a young guy, was feeding a flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his father saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. There's a second hate. And he said unto them, that is, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaves. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. The third hate there, for his dreams and for his words. I want to give a message on somewhat jealousy and rejection. And not one of us are any different from the next person, are we? And because I've been in... all kinds of different predicaments, and you have too, as far as rejection. And it hurts. It really does. And I'll just say this in the preview of the message. There was a guy that I met when I got out of Vietnam, and he was 16 and I was about 22. in that neck of the woods anyway. And he took a liking to me. And we both were unsaved now, mind you. I want to preface that before I go any further. And we'd go out and do honky-tonk, you name it, we did it. And I had a big old racing car, do 110 and a quarter of a mile, full race cam, big gears in the rear, and big old Holley carburetor, the whole schmear. But I'm just saying all that to say this, that he took my example. Because I come back from Vietnam, and he wanted to go into the military, so he went into the Marine Corps, of all places. And that shaped him up like you wouldn't believe. But yet, as he got out, he still got back into the alcohol and kept drinking and drinking. And when I come back off the field up on the Canadian border, talked to him there in Hastings, he still was drinking. And I tried to present the gospel to him. He rejected it. And then after I lost my late wife, I talked to him again there in Lincoln. And hung around him for a little bit until I couldn't stand it any longer. I'm not supposed to hang around with the unsaved people very long, are we? But anyway, here I am trying to be the proper example, and I witnessed to him again. He didn't want to accept it. Matter of fact, he rebuked me. And then we did a job. I won't go into a lot of detail on this, but we went. Business went sour on our relationships, and we ended up parting our ways for 11 years. And here not long ago, I ran into him over the VA again. The first words that come out of his mouth, "I owe you better than $200. I thought, wow, what a deal. And then that started the ball rolling. And come to find out, he may have got saved. You know, there's a fine line sometimes. People that really know the Lord and some people that are just playing the fiddle, you might say. And so, nevertheless, he's no longer a Democrat, by the way. And I know it's important to be the right kind of example. And maybe he got saved. He claims he did. And he keeps calling me. And guess what? He has come over and helped me put down floor when I needed it and asked if I needed anything to help do any work on the house. And he acts like he wants to be my friend. All right, I prefaced all the message in pertaining to rejection. There was a rejection for 11 years until the point he couldn't stand it any longer and he had to make it right. Isn't that the way it ought to be with we as Christians? Well, let's go into this message here. I know I'm taking quite a bit of time there, but I wanted to preface all that. So physical traumas are the one thing that emotional things are far exceeding the physical. And I've been through some physical things, for sure. And therefore, we know that when it comes down to hurts, it is much more impacting on us than it is a physical ailment. And I don't know what the Lord is doing with my ailment in my back, but when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so, therefore, I'm stronger than I was a year ago, right? It's hard to say. So whether it be major or minor, the eyes of the Lord are dealing with us no matter how. And we look at here at the story about Joseph and how that he seemingly took all these things with God's grace, didn't he? Matter of fact, he never complained. He always took it with a punch on the shoulder, you might say. And he knew the Lord was with him all the way through his days as a young guy of 17 years old. And we know David was the same way. He was a man that God cherished and put him into that limelight. Well, let's go on. We want to see about a personal rejection. It's hard to shake the gloom and doom of personal hurts in our hearts. We get wounded and we say to ourselves, why did this have to be? Well, it reminds me of an account, and I won't go through all this necessarily, but there was a man that was in the ministry, and it can happen to anybody. And I almost let it get the best of me because this man, and I've said this before, shortchanged me $5,000. A lot of money, right? Well, my late wife had a hard feeling about it. Won't go into a lot of detail on that, but I'm just saying, she had hard feelings, I had hard feelings, to the point that I almost dropped out of the ministry because of that. And I said to my late wife, We've got to trust the Lord for the outcome of this, because He's wanting us to trust in Him and not man.
Right.
And we know it's important to trust the Lord. So personal rejections usually come in a stormy relationship, deep wounds that are down in our hearts. And it bothered me. It really did. And I remember walking in the office saying, we need to get some things straight. Boy, it was the bad news when I said that, because he thought that he was justified and all that. And you don't know who I'm talking about. Maybe you do, and maybe I'm sure you don't. But nevertheless, this brother has gone on to be with the Lord now, and he's all straightened out, right? But the one thing about it, I could have let that eat me up on the inside. You know, cancer eats on the inside, doesn't it? But feelings will continually to eat if you don't let it go.
Right.
And so we know it's important. So Joseph was a part of what we call a dysfunctional family, right? All his brothers had taken him off to the side, and of course he was jealous, as you know, about the coat of many colors. I don't know whether it was stripes or not, but that's one of my least colorful things is stripes. I hate stripes, by the way. And so Joseph was made that because he was his father's favorite son, right? Well, Jesse, I think, is my favorite son, too, of my old age, you know. But nevertheless, here we got Joseph in the limelight, and he's telling his brethren about how that they're going to bow down in obeisance to him. Boy, they hated him to the nth degree. You ever had anybody hate you to the point that you think, well, what did I do wrong to that guy? And you just have to submit it to the Lord and go on. So Joseph was a man that did not look at the dark clouds that seemed to follow him everywhere. Karen Carpenter used to sing make the statement, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Well, I can't really say rainy days. I like cloudy weather, to tell you the truth. It cools things down. I like rainy days. But she did not. She ended up dying of an anorexic problem. Now, if I don't hurry up, I won't get this done. But let's look about Joseph's dysfunctional life. His brethren threw him into a pit, and everybody knows the story. Threw him into a pit, and they bloodied up his favorite coat, supposedly, and took it back to Jacob and said, Dad, Joseph has just been killed by the wild beast. And therefore, it was bad news. He cried and cried. And wouldn't you? I'm sure you would. And he thought it was all over with. But here we find Joseph taking it rightly. And, you know, I'm sure he was sad. I'm sure he was distraught and down in the dumps, so to speak. But he was down in the well, and the Midianites come along and sold him into Egypt to the Pharaoh, and he got put in jail for 2 years. You ever been in jail? I have a couple times. It's not fun. But can you imagine being in jail for 2 years and still maintain a proper attitude? We have gone, there's no tribulations that we're going through here today that they went through like others that have went into jail. So we know that Joseph was in a dysfunctional family. They hated him. His brothers hated him. But yet it all come to pass that God was going to use him to deliver the Israelite people.
Yeah.
So let's look at some things here this afternoon pertaining to coming out positive. Joseph, how did he do it? Well, only by the grace of God, didn't he?
Yeah.
Only by the grace of God.
Right.
And we find ourselves complaining about little incidental details. I don't know about you, but some of those little things get the best of me. And a verse that comes to mind that the Bible says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, right? We don't want to complain about getting our finger smashed by a hammer. We don't want to complain about those little things because they're minor compared to the big things that take place that'll eat you up. So living alone. Let me look at this one point here about living alone. Many people lose their mates. For instance, down there in Beatrice, there was a woman and her husband. They were married and seemed to be very content with their Christian faith, and they're both born again. But yet one day, this guy named Chuck died. And this is last year, I believe it was, about a year ago or round about that. And she today is mourning over the loss of her husband. And she's becoming sick and she's losing weight. It's an emotional disturbance on the inside, isn't it? She no longer has her husband in the house to help her and encourage her and lift her up. But you know, the Lord does. I've been there. I've not been at the age that they were at. He was 88, and I don't know how old she is. But we pray for her every now and then that the Lord would encourage her. But she lives alone in the house there next to us. And that's why it's important to depend upon the Lord for His directions and guidance.
Right.
So the altar. Let's look at how that many times, just like was alluded to this morning, about how that if we do not stay in this book and be in God's house, whether we feel like it or not, whether we feel like the message that the Lord has for us sinks deep in our hearts. And just like I tell people, if you do not get anything out of the message, it's your fault, not God's fault, right? And it's important that we stay close to the Lord during these evil times. So, men and women have different likes and functions and attractions, don't they? Are you like your wife? No. Is your wife like yourself? No. We are, just like old Gary Smalley says, men are from Venus and men are from Mars, or maybe it's the opposite, I don't know. But he hit it right on the head. You know why? Because every one of us have different traits, and I'm not going to empathize with my wife sometimes. She's not going to empathize with me. She doesn't always understand me. But God does. God does. And you know, men, it doesn't matter where you go. There's all kinds of, as it was brought out this morning, all kinds of temptations, but there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. I went to that ball game expecting to have a good time. We did. But yet, the women dressed lewdly. I mean, it's terrible. It really is. You just almost have to close your eyes. But yet, the Lord says, guard your heart with all diligence for all the issues of life, which is also expressed here this morning. So we've got to be careful about different attractions, and women have different attractions than men. This is the way it is. I just can't help but think of the verse that says, I made a covenant with my eyes to not look upon a maid.
No.
You know, that's pretty powerful. And if we don't, men, you think that you're not apt to fall into any kind of lust? Well, how about David, one of the men after God's own heart?
Right.
And we've got to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Right. Yes.
Let's hurry on. Maybe your wife snores. Maybe you snore. Maybe that's a bone of contention. Maybe he doesn't, wives, you might say, well, he doesn't flush his pot when he's done. Or he doesn't pick up his clothes, or he doesn't do this. It becomes a bone of contention. But you know what? We need to look on the inside and see our own deficiencies, don't we?
Yeah.
And if we don't, we are the loser. Let's look at my next point here. In the family, but not part of it. In the growing situations today, it's tough. It's tough. And that's why we stay close to the Lord as a family. In the morning, we have a devotion.
Amen.
And you know, I get disgruntled times that I can't go down there to Beatrice and do the things I used to do. But the Lord's got things for me. I've got two here that I'm going to raise up right. You know, this world is going to be in one big bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not stay close to the Lord, we're going to shift off into the world and take heed how that you might stand, lest at any time you should fall. And that is very apropos for us today. So we know that the world's technology, with all the computers, and just like the pastor said, do not let your, or whoever it was that said this, do not let your kids get a hold of the phone and operate it, because they're apt to see some things you don't want them
right.
to see.
Right, yeah.
And you name it, all the way down the line. It's there. We know technology can be used for the good or it can be for the bad. So we need to take time. And that's the reason I take time to go fishing with Jesse, take time to do things with Rihanna, and go to the ball game. And before they went to bed last night, they said, "Thank you, Dad, for taking me to the ball game." You know, there were some good things at the ball game. Sure there was. Matter of fact, I saw a family sitting down on that old slope like this. And when I got home, my neck was terribly sore. But nevertheless, this family was sitting down there, and they were having a good time. Their little boy was probably about 4 years old or so. And this father was joking around with him, and he was pulling on the blanket trying to get his dad's attention. That man took a liking and loved his boy. No, he did. And it's important to love one another, because love hides a multitude of sins.
Right.
So some years ago, there was a shocking event, and most of us know about this, that a 14-year-old teenager went into a prayer meeting and began to shoot people all throughout that prayer meeting down in Paducah, Kentucky. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It was terrible. One of them was paralyzed on the waist down. Three girls were killed, and five others were injured. Seriously. What went through that boy's head? Why did he do it? Well, the sheriff began to do some investigating on his home life and found out this boy did not feel accepted in school. He did not feel like his family loved him. He didn't feel like they understood him. And therefore, he got tired of living the way that he lived and said, "I'm going to take it out on this prayer group." And it happens more often than not. Today, you hear killings all over because of that. And they're claiming that it's a guns problem. That's what irritates me. It is irritating, but let the ignorant remain ignorant, right? So rejection generally starts at the home. Rejection has a powerful influence on the home psychic. In other words, if we are putting God's word, we have memory verse about 3 or 4 of them in the morning. We'll go over it maybe a week and then we change. Unless we hide God's word upon our hearts, we're going to be in the same boat, aren't we?
Right.
And I think of all kinds of illustrations I could bring about different people that have gone backsliding. They said they were truly born again. Tom Malone was talking about a man that was on his bus route, if you don't mind me reiterating this. And how that he was burning the woods up. He had filled up one bus and went after another bus as far as a bus captain. And was filling them up so fast, this one brethren went to the preacher and said, "You got to do something about this guy. And he's just burning the woods up. He's filling up the buses faster and faster than we can supply the buses." Anyway, I will cut the story short. See, what was his name? Something Sam. I won't try to remember his name. But anyway, he ended up backsliding. He dropped out on Wednesday night. He dropped out on Sunday night when they had church service up there. And it got worse. Pretty soon he dropped out altogether. And then he moved up to New York or someplace like that. And the report has it that he was a man that got into multiple killings anyway, of serial killings, right, with different women he was killing. And he ended up in jail, and the first words that come out of his mouth is he had written to Dr. Tom Malone, "It all started when I dropped out of church." Mm-hmm. And you know, there's people today that should be sitting here and there and here, and they dropped out.
Man.
What's going to happen to them if they do not stand the test of maybe rejection? Maybe that's what that, I wish I could think of that guy's name, all of us know him from the days past, of course. But we know it's important to have the home life established in our hearts, and as far as Lord's work in our hearts, that is. Let's look at the next point here about friendlessness. And a lot of people go through that. I went through that. Did you guys? When you were growing up, when you didn't have people that really understood you. I had a guy that worked me over in the bathroom. Punched me around and treated me like a piece of dirt. And when I went into the military, guess who I found? Larry Hixenbaugh. Still remember the guy's name. And I built myself up, you know, with weights and everything. And I was in the boxing before I went to the military. And he didn't dare mouth off. What I'm saying is, we need to have friendship. And if we don't handle the people that we are in school with or in the job or wherever it might be, we're going to fall away to the wayside. This guy I was telling you about that had ought against, I had ought against him, and many times I wanted to get back with him, but it wasn't the right timing. That he needs my friendship. You know why? Because I stand on the Word of God, and I tell him this is the way it is, and he respects me. We know that we ourselves, as even men and women, need friends. We need brothers and sisters to lift us up and encourage us. And if we don't, we might fall away to the wayside and become discouraged. So rejection can be felt by anyone at any time, anywhere. It's painful, no doubt about it. Whether it be someone rejecting you, I remember being elected for a certain team. If anybody plays ball in the past, you know what I'm talking about. You have a captain, he selects those that he wants on his team. Well, many times I was the last one. I felt rejected. I felt like there was no count in my athletic ability, and that's what prodded me to go on to be better than what I knew that I could be. And, you know, that's the way it is with Christian growth. We want to even better ourselves and hang on to God's Word and meditate on it day and night that we might be able to be overcomers. And so lashing out. Let's look at my next point. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15:23. And I want to read down to 28, I believe. This is about rebellion. You know who I'm talking about. Saul, how he rebelled against God. And all of us know this. But you know, as an old preacher told me, God customizes this, His word for you at that time, for that occasion, to keep you from sin.
Right.
So we never know what God's going to do. Let's read there at verse 23. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord, thy God, and thy word, that is, because I fear the people and obeyed their voice. That was his problem right there.
Right.
How many people, I want to just park on that a little bit. How many people don't give out tracts because they're fearful of what people would say?
Right.
You know, that's their loss, not yours, right?
Right?
And if we don't give them the tract, the blood will be upon your soul if God gives you that tract. I took Renee out. She mowed my yard, which I can't mow my yard anymore. And it's a humbling effect. And that goes down to my point about Saul here. But she took me, did the lawn. I said, Daryl, I'll take you over to someplace to eat. And it was a very luxurious place, by the way. Hy-Vee at the delicatessen. And I took her in there and we ate our meal and here's some guys chit-chatting over there in the corner, and I just wanted a peaceful time. And here's a guy sitting over in the corner, and I had a Holy Joe track. I've had that for, matter of fact, Renee found them in the basement. Had a whole stack of them, a bunch of them, that I hadn't used. I thought, I forgot all about them. Holy Joe, have you ever read it? I think Brother Glenn has. And I took it over and gave it to that guy, and I said, are you pro-military? Yes, I am. I said, you're my candidate. So I gave him that track and opened it up and I said, now you read this little tractlet here and you read the last page after you read it. And I said, it tells you how to get to heaven. Do you know for sure you're on the way to heaven? No. Well, he said, yes, first of all. And he said, well, no, I really don't. And I wished I could have sat down and talked to him, but the occasion wasn't right and we had to get back over to Claudia and Carl's to pick up Jesse and Rana. But nevertheless, you know, a tract has in those Czech publication tracts 1,000 words in it. I love them. And he had a big smile on his face when I left him. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care who you give it to as long as you give it out from the compassion that you have. Compelling, the Bible says, by compassion, you pull them out of the pits of hell.
Right.
And we've got to have compassion. So, another point here is lashing out. We're all guilty of it, aren't we? Somebody does you wrong, like that individual that took $5,000 from me. Boy, I wanted to lash out. But you know, the Lord says to not take a brother to court, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, he's your man. He's your one that you're going to use. So you handle him the way you want. And he died at the age of 63, not too many years ago. Not to say that the Lord lashed out at him for what he did to me. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we all want to lash out, whether it be a business gone wrong or whatever it might be, people taking you to the cleaners.
Right.
You've had that happen. But can you ever outgive the Lord by your giving to the Lord in his house? No. And it was a motor home that was sold that we had a business so-called deal on it. And when it was sold, we were supposed to split it down the middle. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. I had to let it go. I wanted to lash out. My next point is eating your way out. Boy, that's a big one today, isn't it? You know what I mean by eating your way out?
Amen.
You do? Okay. People end up getting discouraged, whatever it might be, and they say to themselves, I'm going to go get me a big ice cream cone and a banana split to go with it. Eat, 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 eat. Reminds me of someone that Brother Dave and I know. We took off and went to a mission conference. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you do. And on the way back, this brother said, Mike, I don't eat any more than you do. All along, we just ate a big fat meal over there in the mission conference over there in, where was it, Salt Lake City, Utah, I think it was. And came back, and guess what? Here he's wolfing down these Twinkies. And I said, no, brother, I'm not at least a bit hungry. And he was overweight at that time anyway. But you know what? I better not go any further. Somebody might fill in the blanks. But nevertheless, we know that people eat to satisfy that longing that's deep down in their hearts. They think, I'm going to bathe myself in food. And just like Olive Garden says, we love food. And there's a lot of people that do eat, eat, eat. And it's very, very apropos, if you want to call it that. They walk around and they can hardly even lift one leg up over the other. Just because I'm thin, so-called, doesn't mean that I'm against them. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we've got to watch ourselves what we eat. We don't want to drown our problems of jealousy or far as being disgruntled or in dismay about these things. We must know the Lord wants us to look to Him for our leadership. Let's look here at verse 25 before I go any further, and we'll read the next four verses it is in 1 Samuel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being the king over Israel. Boy, that was a big, big, big thing. Because Saul hated that. He wanted to get revenge. He wanted to strike back. And he wanted to get even, didn't he? And as Samuel returned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine, which is David, of course, that is better than thou. Wow. He wanted to get him so bad that he wanted to kill him, didn't he? It was a rage. The Bible says rage, jealousy is a rage. And we know that it's becoming more across the country. Have you ever seen anybody cut somebody off and they speed after him to get at him? And rage with violence, they call it road rage. I've been guilty of that. Anybody else? We know that people that cut you off, and I've even heard or seen how this, and I'm not going to belabor this, but here this guy is right uptown Lincoln, And this guy cut this guy off to the point he smacked into his fender. And I saw this guy in front of me just stick his head out nonchalantly and look at his fender, but didn't go any, do anything about it. Well, that's probably the attitude that we all ought to have, right? When we do not control it, control other people, leave it be, even if it's a smacked fender. Have you ever had anybody smack you in the face and you just let it go? I haven't when I've been born again. I've had somebody kick me in the rear and almost shove me on my face when I was up north. And I've made that statement before. But the Lord is in the business of handling these people. So Saul was a humble man at first. And later, he became very proud and arrogant, didn't he?
Right.
You know, there's a, I think of Elvis Presley. When did he die? Like 47, something like that, I think?
42.
Was it 42? What happened to that man? He was doing great. He's a handsome guy, had a beautiful voice, but all this fame and popularity got the best of him, didn't it?
Right.
It just almost ate him up, matter of fact. Well, it did. Eventually, it ate him up. And he died a premature death because he just couldn't handle it. And got into pills, and it's a sad thing. Samuel was so proud that he had to go after David, and he wanted to kill him, didn't he? He even went after Samuel. Not to kill him, but to be angry at him. And we know it's important to let our sins be dispersed under the power of God. And let's go into another facet here about abandoning your marriage. Oh, that's a big one today. Feeling rejected by your spouse and feeling the rejection. That is a big one today. People that end up cheating on their mate or even having an extramarital date or whatever it might be, and their mate finds out about it, well, what happens? They feel rejected, don't they? They want to strike back. Any way they can do, they want to strike back at that man or that mate of theirs, whoever it might be, man or woman. And lo and behold, it becomes, I heard about the situation, and it just popped into my head, about up in that Chicago area, I believe it was, how this man and woman got saved. They started going to the church up there, what was Hiles Anderson's, Jack Hiles' church, whatever it's called. Doesn't matter. But got saved in that church, and the man found one day, and of course I'm cutting the story short, found one day that his wife had been seeing a man, and so he stalked her to find out where she's going. Found her in a parking lot, sitting in the car with this guy, making out with a guy. He took his gun over there and stuck it to the window and pulled the trigger and shot the man in the head. And he ended up in jail. What happened is he started missing church. And he wasn't fortified with God's word, and he wanted to take vengeance on his own by getting at his wife. Did it get at his wife? No. He that scorneth troubleth his own soul, right? And if we scorn, we are going to be the miserable ones because it'll get the best of us. So, nevertheless, that man was in jail and he wrote to Jack Hiles up there, or whoever it was, it seems like it was, and said, it all started when I dropped out of church. And furthermore, the rejection of my wife for another mate. A terrible thing to happen. Abandon will get into the way of our relationship, and that's why the old saying is very fitting. Keep the honey in the honeymoon, right? Always romance your mate. And that goes here too. It doesn't necessarily go to any of us here today. Romance our mates, whatever it might be, to look satisfactory in the relationship the Lord wants to have for us. Let's look at the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, as we get ready to close. Ephesians, I believe this is where it's found anyway. Yes, it is. And I could read verse 18, but let's just look at the primary one that I want to look at here. Ephesians 5, 18. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And of course, you know, this covers the man and the wife here about wives submitting yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. That's a big one today. You know what the deal is? Women want to have the preeminence in the family, don't they? They want to stand in the leadership. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all these politicians in our political arena today. And I don't know exactly where the verse is at. I think the pastor alluded to that here the other day about in the Old Testament where it says in the latter days that women and children will have the rule. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a sad thing, isn't it? Well, this would take care of all that if the women would realize they are called their mates lords, huh? I don't know about that for sure. I don't think that would be very fitting for my wife to call me Lord. But nevertheless, a man is to be the leader of the family, right? We want to know who's the leader. But yet, a man's not get the whip out and crack it and say, you will obey me. Because she is the helpmate. And I appreciate my wife. I really do. Especially now I can't do what I used to do. I just can't. That's all there is to it. The Lord is humbling me. Is there a reason for it? I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. We all need to be humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due time. And my last point here is spending money. It's just another temporary fix, is it not? They get rejected over and over at the job or wherever it might be. And then they want to take their credit card and start binging. I shouldn't even use the word binging because that wouldn't be the right word. But flaunting that card off and buying this and buying that. And they get a high. But that credit card is out there when their feelings of the acquisition of possessing the property is long out there. Right? None of us are that way, are we? I don't think so. But we can be. We can go ahead and take and get that credit card maxed out if we wanted to. I don't even own a credit card, to tell you the truth. My wife does, just for emergencies. But that's it. And we want to make sure we keep a handle on that spending issue because it's a temporary fix for the rejection that could be going on in your heart. So, rejection solutions. God worked in Joseph's life and his response to rejection. Can you imagine being tossed into prison? And then he told the baker and who was it? The butler, I believe it was. The dream. And he said, well, you don't forget me now. Go and tell Pharaoh what the dream is all about. Well, he forgot him, didn't he? Right. He let him go. Wouldn't you be discouraged? I would. Brother, I've been up on the Canadian border, no one comes to church for a time, and then we have a few, and we have a few more, but there for a while, it gets discouraged, and you feel like they're rejecting you because of a message you gave. You ever feel that way, preacher? Well, we know it's important to deal with rejection in the right way, because if we don't, it'll tear us apart, and not one of us are exempt from that issue. And I could go on, but I'm going to save the rest of the message for up there in Bible Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer and realize that we don't want to let these things eat us up because it will be like a canker continually eating until we're in absolutely no good to the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be able to look in the Scriptures because it's not what I've said, it's what you've said that makes a difference in your people's hearts and my heart. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I know, Lord, that I've gone over this message knowing that it's helped me out. And I pray that it's helped your people out in some way or another. Whatever it might be, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to deal with rejection in the right way and not let it be overcomer, not to be overcoming us, but we'll be overcoming it. So give us a good day. Give us a good week. Help us to rejoice in that we have eternal life. And Lord, we know that none of us want to be handling our own affairs in rejection as far as hostility and resentment. and vengeance. So help us to know how to deal with our everyday lives. Sooner or later, we're going to run into those things, and we have in the past, and help us know how to deal with it properly. We'll praise you for what you're going to do. Help us to be soul winners and not to be saying, I don't have time, and I can't speak right. I'm not eloquent. Help us to be able to be your spokesman. In Jesus' name we pray, and these things we ask and much more. Amen.